Amen. Jesus promised that he would build his church. In every graduation, I'm reminded, Jesus keeps his promises. And today we celebrate, in small part, an answer to Jesus' promise as we send out an army of gospel stewards into the harvest of the world. Graduates, today I want to congratulate you and charge you as your dean to go and preach the gospel, to take the good news into all the world. This is the reason you came here, and this is the reason you will leave here. In 1909, the jolly, plump, British journalist and Christian apologist G.K. Chesterton published the book The Ball and the Cross. It's a story about two men, a Christian and an atheist. The story begins when a Christian man is making his way for the first time into the city of London. He's walking down Fleet Street. If you're not familiar with Fleet Street was the literary capital of the Western world. It was to literature what Wall Street is to economics. It was an important place where authors and editors and people who gave great time and energy to thinking about important matters spent time together. And as this Christian man walked down the street, he walked past the window of one newspaper, and the title of the name of the newspaper was The Atheist. This Christian man had never seen such blasphemy. They had a copy of the most recent edition hanging in the window, and he stood there and began reading the headlines and became more and more enraged by what he read, and so he broke through the window, jumped into the office. He jumped on top of the desk of the editor, and he demanded a fight. The editor, who was himself, of course, an atheist, was thrilled because most people had ignored his message, so he stood up and prepared to defend his claims. The police quickly arrived, took the men to court, and the judge asked an important question. Why would you be willing to die for such claims? The smooth-talking editor got the judge to drop the charges and release both men, and that's when the story really begins. The rest of the book is about these two men trying to find a nice, quiet place where they can have a good, old-fashioned, gentlemanly fight to the death. And every time they find some solitude where they might kill one another, they're interrupted by police, and so their journeys are marked by running from police and preparing to fight. And in the end, they become great friends, still in disagreement, and the story ends with them locked in an insane asylum. And the brilliant Chesterton was making this point. The only two sane men on the planet were two men who understood the depth of their convictions and were willing to stand for them. The ball represented the world, a universe that contains its own answers and points to itself. The cross represented Christianity, and so instead of the world pointing to itself and containing its own answers, it pointed beyond itself, it pointed to a loving creator and redeemer. And ultimately, these are mankind's two options. It's either the ball or the cross. And as you go out into this mission field, you are going to be ministering to people who live for the ball. And you're going to them to preach the cross. Either there's a powerful and personal creator, or we simply live in a universe that doesn't care. As the famous scientist and atheist from Harvard University once said over 30 years ago, the cosmos is all there is or ever was or ever will be. Either the universe points to itself or it points beyond itself to a loving and personal creator. But we recognize that if there's no God above, there could be no objective meaning or intrinsic worth below. And so we are going to a world who is living for the world and finding out that the world cannot satisfy them. So we're bringing the good news that the cross is true, that the world is not an end unto itself. Apart from a God who, as Francis Schaeffer said, who is there and who is not silent, apart from that kind of God, then we are left in a universe that doesn't care. But that's not the Christian message. The Christian message is that there is an explosive reality that the creator of the cosmos has visited us in our despair and offers us hope and life. If you have your Bible, if you turn to Colossians chapter 3, I just want to read a few verses. The Apostle Paul writes these words. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul says to focus your attention not on this world, but on what's beyond this world. The reality of a God who is there and who is not silent. In short, Paul's saying we have meaning below because there is a God above. And Paul says, fix your eyes there. He realizes that though we believe in the cross, we are tempted to define our worth and our value by the ball, by the world. And Paul says, don't do it. Stop it. Define your worth by a God who loves you, and instead of measuring the standard of your success by what you could see, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Look above. Find your meaning above. Students, you will face many trials and tribulations that are not to be neglected or overlooked on this day, but you will be filled with the joy of God as you preach the good news of the kingdom. Do not define your identity or your ministry or your worth by the below. Define your worth by the above. Some of you will face two various extremes and certainly several degrees in between. Some of you will have great success and you'll be tempted to doubt the power of the gospel because you'll think that you really have something to do with it, that you're the magic sauce that makes this whole thing work. Define your success by the above and not the below. Trust in the power of the gospel. Some of you will toil and labor, and you'll be tempted to doubt the gospel because you will not see results. Don't do it. Paul says, look above, and when Christ, who Paul eloquently describes this way, who is your life, when he appears, you will appear with him in glory. In the end, it's either the ball or the cross. That's why we must ask thinking men and women what Jesus asked. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose their own soul? So take this good news into all the world and tell all the world that the world is not an end unto itself, but that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God so loved the ball that he appointed a cross. This is the gospel, and of this gospel may you never be ashamed.